You probably realize that we've just read two of the most impactful verses from the Bible. John 3, verse 3. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And even more well known, John 3, 16. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The truth of these verses changed my life from my teen years. These two verses hold such profound truth. They go to the essence of our faith, reflecting all that is beautiful, gentle, and true. And yet, too, how these verses, in all of the corruption of the human heart, have been abused, leading to indifference, arrogance, exclusivity, and insularity. This whole reading, John 3, 1-17, is a set reading for this Trinity Sunday. It is essential for understanding how God brings us back into his glorious, limitless, unbounded fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let's see the glory and then beware of the corruption, how the church in some parts, the Christians, may fall prey to. John 3, 1-17. The central message is clear and unequivocal. Belief in Christ leads to a spiritual rebirth that leads to eternal life. Life in relationship with God that starts now. If we miss this spiritual base, we miss the very starting point of how we can have relationship with God and how we are to relate and minister to the world that God loves so much. Jesus is able to emphasize these truths in his dialogue with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a learned man, a teacher and ruler of Israel. He also respects Jesus sufficiently to give him the title Rabbi. He is a man of authority and learning. He is sensitive enough to have intuition about the importance of Jesus. But his understanding is materialistic and earthbound. He believed his worth before God was as a Jew and in his good works. His interest in Jesus is prompted by his miracles more than anything else. And of course, Nicodemus is typical of man and woman through the ages, perhaps typical of all of us, only able to see and relate to what is here and now. Until the encounter with Jesus makes Nicodemus stop and think and start to see there is another dimension. It is the mysterious, ineffable, and yet utterly logical reality of the incarnation that enables him to see. No one, says Jesus, has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, as Jesus uses his favorite title for himself. Jesus can speak of spiritual things, can speak to our spiritual needs because he has been there, because he is God, the logic of God coming to us in Christ. And Jesus declares the fundamental spiritual things we need to know. First, God loves you. He loves you so much, he enters into our world. That climactic verse of the passage, God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Secondly, Jesus says to really know this love, to see the kingdom of God, to enjoy eternal life, there has to be a fundamental reorientation of our lives, a complete turnaround, a rebirth that is spiritual and mysterious. I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Water in baptism as a sign of repentance, but the Holy Spirit effecting the actual change in our status and being. This is the splendor of our faith. How God brings us back into his glorious, limitless, unbounded fellowship of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father, our creator and maker, comes in the Son, our pattern man and redeemer, and brings our regeneration by the Holy Spirit, our comforter and sustainer. So rejoice and celebrate. Give thanks and pray. Whisper it to yourself. Shout it out if you like. You are so loved, loved by God. You are of incredible, priceless value simply because you are, not because of anything you do. You do not have to do anything or prove yourself. You are loved by God because you are. And rejoice in the rebirth that comes by belief in Jesus Christ, bringing the power of the Holy Spirit. God's love is not just external to us, but can, does become a part of us. Through Jesus being lifted up, crucified and exalted, we die with him and rise with him in new life. There will always be something mysterious about this regeneration in the Holy Spirit. Jesus likens it to our experience of the wind. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. Just as we cannot see the wind, but can see its effects, we can see the effects of this regeneration. Billions of Christians over two millennia testify to the changes that occur in being born again. Sins forgiven, character changed more into the likeness of Christ, sense of futility and being lost changed into sense of completion and being at home. Experience of the fruits of the Spirit that speak of his presence, love, joy, peace, goodness, and more. Knowing that we have eternal life, life beyond this one. All of this turnaround, all of this was my experience when I believed, when I was born again as a teenager. Of course, the regeneration is ongoing through our lives. As we focused on last Pentecost Sunday, we are to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit everywhere, every day, every time we meet together. We go on experiencing more and more of the Holy Spirit. But there is a starting point in this life with God, a conscious decision of belief in Jesus as the Son of God, a starting point that is a prayer of faith in Jesus, the Son of God, a being born again. Before we finish this sermon in a moment, we'll have the opportunity to pray again, a simple prayer of belief, of commitment to God through Jesus in the Holy Spirit, a prayer that brings rebirth. Before we get there, though, just consider how these profound verses from John chapter 3 have been abused, leading to indifference, arrogance, exclusivity, and insularity. Consider the worst images of born-again Christians that I'm sure we're all familiar with. First, John 3:16 has been taken as an excuse for indifference, even callousness to life in this world, this planet Earth. The argument may go, we have eternal life, a perfect life of heaven beyond this one. Why care about this passing Earth? Our task is simply to tell people about Jesus, their need to be born again so that they can go to heaven. Diana Butler Bass, American historian of Christianity and advocate of progressive Christianity, says these words, which may apply more to America, but nonetheless have truth, I think, around the world. She says, we have become an elevator religion focused on getting people up, up and away from this troubled earth to heaven, where God and the angels sit in cloudy bliss, having left behind the problems of earth. Greedy and exploitative politicians and their corporate allies couldn't ask for a better partner in crime. Of course, the corruption ought to be easy to see. John 3:16 proclaims that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. God loves all of his creation and every person and creature in it. The task is not to escape the world, but to redeem it. Also in John 3:16, eternal life does not mean life after death, but rather boundless, limitless, endless glory with God, which of course does include continuing in this glory after our death on earth, made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus, but that is only a part of eternal life. This glorious planet Earth and our lives on it are all part of the eternal glory, life of God. There should never be any excuse to reducing our faith to pie in the sky when we die. God so loved the world, he gives eternal life. We are to be co-workers in caring for, redeeming his world. And this should be clear too in being born again. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. The spiritual regeneration that all need is to lead into seeing, being part of the kingdom of God, which we know is about bringing God's loving rule to this suffering world. The corruption of the human heart can indeed mean that the glorious verses of John 3, 1 to 17 turn our faith into the deep heresy of elevator religion. And such corruption of our hearts can also mean that an arrogance, exclusivity, insularity is evident in the lives of Christians and the church. We know that we have such profound truth in Jesus, we can think we are separate from other people, only relating to them to try to convert them. We may fail to see that the Christ we celebrate is already in them. John's Gospel, with these glorious verses of chapter 3, starts, as I'm sure you remember, with the acclamation in chapter 1, the world was made through him. Jesus, the Son of God, who brings eternal life, is the word through which all creation was made. Christ is all in all, with all. He is the humble servant of Philippians chapter 2, who is drawing mankind to bow the knee and confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Exclusivity can make us into being narrow and judgmental. The Christian leader and writer Brian McLaren has spoken of having a crisis of faith, in part because he realized that his received ways of seeing the uniqueness of Christ and, in his words, my inherited way of reading the Bible was making me less open, less loving, less generous person than I otherwise would have been. Our faith should lead us into extravagant, open, listening relationships with all. Our faith should make us into being better human beings. So these glorious, most impactful verses of the Bible, John 3, verse 3, let's hear it again. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. And let's hear again, John 3, 16. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May we be aware of the dangers of the corruption of the human heart, the abuse that these verses have been used for, leading to indifference, arrogance, exclusivity, insularity. Avoiding the pitfalls, may we hold to the profound truths of these verses that go to the essence of our faith, reflecting all that is beautiful, gentle, and true. May we know our need for spiritual regeneration, to be born again. May we rejoice that God loves us so much, his world, that he gave us his one and only son. May we rejoice this Trinity Sunday in the boundless, limitless, endless glory, the eternal life we have with God through Christ, the Son of God, drawn into the glorious, unbounded fellowship of his love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.